This is Conversations with Candidates. I'm your host, Cal Halliburton, and it's our pleasure today to be talking with Julie Stauch. Ms. Stauch is seeking the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa. A fifth-generation Iowan, Julie was born at Mary Greeley Hospital in Ames. She moved to New York when her father took a job there and lived in other states following his working career. She moved back to Iowa to attend Iowa State University, where she received a bachelor's degree in elementary education. During her career as a small business owner, she was bitten by the political bug and began volunteering for local and state campaigns. The volunteer work turned into paid employment, including as a public affairs director for Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. She began her own business as an organizational consultant. She worked numerous campaigns, including Pete Buttigieg's caucus campaign and campaign manager for Mike Franken's U.S. Senate campaign. Stauch said voters do not trust either party right now, and she's promising to be a careful listener. Julie, tell our listeners something about yourself that they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Okay, great question. I would say the thing that most people don't know about me is that, even my close friends, that when we lived in Mason City, my husband and I owned a needlework shop, and I won a national needlepoint competition. I think we need that in the governor's office.
Well, certainly. I mean, for decoration purposes, right?
So, yes, if yes. Only.
As you talk with people around the state, and I assume you're starting that, what are their most frequent concerns?
I've had one set of conversations so far, and then a lot of phone calls. Today, we do begin, we've got four between today and tomorrow, four meetings with Iowans in Fort Dodge, in Spencer, in Sac City, and Storm Lake. And so I expect tomorrow I will know a heck of a lot more. But for right now, what I'm hearing a lot of from people are concerns about clean water, but also about their local communities. And there's a genuine concern about losing their local hospitals. And then the other thing that I heard when we were down in Wayne County was concern about the increase in property taxes. Might they lose their farm? These were retired people. What kind of position did that leave them in? There were so many things that they talked about that it was really hard to, it's hard for me to pull up the whole list in my head right now. But,
sure.
But it was a really robust conversation.
Now, you said you mentioned Storm Lake. Are you going to have any contact with Art Cullen and the Times pilot up there?
Well, he is, I believe, on the road this week, according to the article, because they're filming for one of, you know, he is on Substack. And there, I read that on Monday, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I won't get to talk with him. I am, however, speaking with one of the reporters at the paper.
Oh,
it just
good.
Won't be Art.
Oh, okay.
Unless he surprises me.
Well, who knows?
Who knows with Art?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Assume that you're elected. What are you going to do?
There's a lot to be done. There are a lot of problems to be solved. That's why I say I'm a problem solver. I think the first thing we have to recognize before even the election is how much our current governor has been working very systematically to deregulate all facets of life in Iowa. We need to sit down and prioritize which of those deregulations need to be regulated again. And that, I think, will be a big challenge. It's going to depend on what the people of Iowa tell me. I'm running under the premise that I'm applying for the job of governor, and I'm here for my job interview. I'll be saying that four times this weekend at least. I'm taking that approach because I believe that the people need to be reminded that they get to pick who the governor is and not anybody else. And it's up to them. And I would hope they're having conversation with every gubernatorial candidate, at least all of those that are announced, and really thinking carefully about where they want the future of Iowa to go. It's partly empowerment, partly just trying to open up for conversation in a way that's a little bit different and maybe gets heard differently.
But there are some issues that have been floating around for a long time, and I'd like to touch on one or two of those as we go forward. One of them, I think you may have touched a little bit, is the water quality and water access. You know, we've got 8,000 pools of pig poo around the state, and that is used to spray fields and fertilize, and it's also just leaking into our underground water supply, putting it at risk.
Yes.
Have you thought anything about how to deal with that in the future?
I've thought a lot of different things about it. I'm learning a lot about it right now. I would not cast myself as an expert, but I'm coming up to speed quickly. What I have picked up on is the whole deregulation point that I made earlier. Particularly the DNR has been highly deregulated from the goals that they were originally given in terms of water quality. And the other thing is the approach that has been taken with farmers and anyone in the profession of either growing corn and soybeans or raising hogs, or probably turkeys and birds, but hogs are the ones that I hear the most about. There has to be a way to come together and sort out how this work can be done without destroying the whole environment of the state. I personally believe we have an obligation to care for the land, something my dad really drove home to us, working in his greenhouses. And I feel strongly an obligation to do that. And then, of course, water is fundamental to life, all life, human life in particular, but every other kind of life as well. And we kind of need to get back to the philosophy, at least that my dad had, about it's our job to take care of the land and to take care of the creatures that live on the land. We just have to get people back into that mindset. And do we use a carrot or a stick is yet to be determined.
Well, currently we're trying to use small carrots, it seems, and I'm not sure that's working.
I think clearly it's not working.
Yeah. There are some other issues. One that's, of course, very important to at least 50% of the population, and it's being able to, that women are in charge of their bodies and no one else, including politicians. Mm-hmm. How do you stand on dealing with that issue?
Well, right now, with some of these recent changes to Iowa law, we are about to become an OBGYN desert. And a lot of people do not realize how much of women's health is strictly related to our reproductive organs. They make the assumption that only abortion is where different health care needs for women are, when the variations on that procedure now are becoming legally suspect. So doctors are less willing to take risks when a patient needs the doctor to be there for them, because their license is at stake. My speculation is that it will not be long, if we can't get some of those restrictions changed, that their OBGYNs won't come here. And then we'll be having complex pregnancies where the child cannot be delivered. At the same time, there's this irony of people are calling for more pregnancies and more babies to be part of our working population. Well, if we're in OBGYN desert, many of those pregnant women, because pregnancy is it's more risky for women than driving. Pregnancy is so risky that they're going to have to go out of state to get their child delivered. And all that extra cost added on there. We just need to be sensible in our laws. And it seems like we've really lost that sense of understanding all the different things that go into these things, and we treat them as if it's a very simple matter, and it's not very simple.
Not at all. And we're not educating the public well enough to deal with that, I think, is part of the problem.
Part of it. And then there are other, we'll call them bad actors, who are informing people, and also people didn't pay attention in their biology classes in public school. Mm-hmm. And because it's pretty much, even in my adult life, that, you know, from high school on, that was a part of what we learned. And so, and that was in rural North Carolina. And if they were teaching it there, they sure would have been teaching it here.
Another issue that comes up, and I think it's important to your candidacy probably, and that's restricting money in politics. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with that?
That is a federal ruling. Mm-hmm. And for me, as a state candidate, and I've run both kinds of campaigns, as a state candidate, our rules are even more lax than the federal has a lot stricter rules. And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on. As far as money in politics, a lot of people have asked me the question this way: your opponent has access to all this money. How will you beat him? And my answer is, money is a useful tool in politics. It helps us enhance our communications. But you can give the wrong message, and then all the money in the world won't save you. And so one has to really be mindful of that in how you're using your money and what you're saying and how you're engaging with people.
That leads me to perhaps my last question, which is, how are you going to win the general election?
I'm going to win the general election by starting now and reaching out to all Iowans. We are not hiding our access to our events. I welcome any Iowa voter, and even younger who are not yet voters or might want to be voters. Anybody is welcome to come to our interview sessions. And in those sessions, I say that, you know, like any job interview, you, the employer, get to ask me questions. And I, the person who's seeking the job, get to ask you questions so that we can see, can we work together or not? And I found that it's a really great way to get people to tell me stuff, important information both to them personally, but also to their communities. And it's going to be a big problem to solve. But I like solving problems. I joke that it started because I have two younger sisters, and my mom was always saying, Julie, will you go take care of them? And usually they were fighting, and I would usually have to go pry them apart. And so I've been solving problems all my life. They keep getting bigger and bigger, and certainly this is going to be a big one. I care about this state a lot. My dad talked about Iowa all the time that he didn't live here. He hated not living here, but there weren't opportunities for him here. I have this deep affection for the state and for the people who settled here at different times in our history, and I think it's a better place than we're being right now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We've been talking with Julie Stouch, who's seeking the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for governor of Iowa.